scheme is important, but I think way too many people put too much emphasis on scheme. You could be successful running just about anything that you want, but you've got to have the people for it. And if you don't know your people and you don't understand how to put your people together, then the scheme that you run is going to be pretty irrelevant. And I was guilty of that when I got here. I thought I was going to reinvent the wheel. And, you know, I think the more people you talk to, the more you realize that pretty much every machine you could possibly imagine has already been built.
On this week's Champion Series episode presented by Signature Championship Rings, we talk with a 7-in-a-row state champion with a special focus on embracing the uniqueness of each team and season. Steve Steele of Pierre Riggs High School in South Dakota shares his wisdom and experiences from leading his team to 7 consecutive state championships. We dig into the key elements of success, the importance of team dynamics, and the journey of preparing for a new season with a fresh theme. Stay tuned for our Winning Edge takeaways following the episode. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free 1-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. On today's episode, presented by Signature Championship Rings, we talk about how you need to embrace every team and every year as different. Now, what's unique about this one is it's ended the same way for this particular team 7 times in a row. 7-time state champions at Pierre Riggs High School in South Dakota. And the head coach, Steve Steele, joining us once again on the podcast. Steve, always great to talk ball with you here on Coach and Coordinator.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again and getting to talk about another fun season.
The easy thing would be if you could just copy and paste this thing every year and expect the same results, but that's just not true in our game. The game is very dynamic. Each team is very different. And as we said in the introduction here, that's our topic today, that, you know, you do need to embrace every single year as different.
That's been such a crucial part to our success over these last 7 seasons, is still having your program identity, still having your non-negotiables of what you're about and what you'll encourage, what you'll accept and what you won't tolerate. But at the same point, understanding that every single group of kids, every single mixture of them is different. There's different leaders, there's different followers, there's different members that need to be recognized differently each and every season. And the same motivations won't be true one year to the next. So understanding and knowing your team, and then ultimately building that motivational strategy and that team building strategy around the crew you have for one season is the most important part.
So let's start with the things that are the same. You said that identity, really that foundational identity of your team, is going to remain the same. And for you, it's built around 2 non-negotiables. What are those non-negotiables for you?
Yeah, our 2 non-negotiables are TOTD, turn off the dark, and family, forget about me, I love you. Family is something I'd actually heard at the AFCA 30 under 30 back in 2016 by Glenn Caruso, head coach at St. Thomas over in the cities. It's one of those things that you heard about it and you saw the passion from him, and you knew immediately that that was something that you wanted to integrate in your own program. And we've done a great job of that here, you know, really focusing on what we can do for our teammates. What do we do for them that's not a part of our daily job description? And that's, you know, as a senior, sometimes that's setting up drills. I think a lot of people and a lot of teams are, you know, it's a seniority system where it's always the young kids that you know, that's your rookie initiation or whatever that is. And our older guys have a lot of pride in making sure things are set up the right way, making sure that the expectations are what they need to be. But at the same point, being accountable themselves and in making sure that they're all doing what they need to be doing too. So not just doing the fun parts of the job, but what are you doing to make your teammates, your coaches' lives easier? And same thing from our coaching perspective, what are we doing to make the kids' lives easier and our other coaches' lives easier? So that's family. TOTD, Turn Off the Dark, is something we created. And that's our own way of refocusing to make sure that we're staying positive. Bad things are going to happen in life. Bad things are going to happen in a football game, in practice, no matter what. You can't hide from it, but find the silver lining. Find a way to be positive. Find a way to turn that negative around and reshape it and to gain something from it. And, you know, I would absolutely 100% credit two of our state championship games, specifically to those games, to that mentality. And I think that was a big form of validation in one of our state championship games where we were down 3 touchdowns 2 different times, still found a way to come all the way back and win it. And a lot of that goes to the fact that our kids, they never panicked. They found ways to stay positive through the adversity and ultimately fought back together.
Yeah, that's not an easy thing to do, especially in that phase of it. I think some of it maybe is a little bit more evident in how you teach them to serve each other in the family side of things. How do you train this aspect of it in your teams?
The family aspect, again, that part is taking care of itself very well through the coaches being servants first. And if we're serving the kids, then the kids, it filters all the way down. The positive part, the same way, but, you know, much like anything else, I mean, you can't create something if you're not given opportunities to mess up. And, you know, and by that, I mean, in practice, we try and provide or create adversity for our kids. We put them in bad situations. We want to see bad things happen schematically or losing a drill or whatnot to force them to react to it. They don't always react positively. And when they do, we have to call that out and explain how they should be reacting to that. And when they do it well, then you reinforce that and say, hey, that's exactly how we need to respond there. That's a great job. And once that ownership comes over to the kids and the kids are calling out, hey, that's not how we do that. That's not how we respond. Or, hey, that's an awesome job. Way to get back after that. Then that's that validation that you're looking for, knowing that that is now inside the culture.
Are you able to create that? And I know you yourself, you also coach hockey and you are at a small school. So I'm sure a lot of kids, there's overlap in sports and you don't have them all the whole year. But in the training in the off season, are you able to create those situations like that, that start to prepare them for the stuff that then will be happening out on the field and facing adversity?
There is. There's so many ways to be creative and to have fun with it. To one weight room thing or, you know, off season type training thing. And this took a lot of fortitude from our coaches to be able to deal with this one. If you're familiar with the Meow Mix theme song, you know, they have this on YouTube where there is like a 2-hour loop of it. And being able to play that during an entire weight room session where all you're hearing is the Meow Mix theme song. I mean, it's incredible the amount of fortitude it takes to get through the work that you need to get done, to do it right and to do it well. When that's on, because I mean, quite honestly, that could be a torture technique probably used in prisons around the world.
I was going to say, isn't that one of Dante's hard. Rings of Hell?
It very well could be. And I mean, it's a challenge. But when you get to the point where you see your leaders step up and then they start finding ways to have fun with it. And that's what we're talking about in the culture side of, you know, hey, this isn't fun, but we got to find a way to make it fun and we got to find a way to enjoy where we're at and to make the best of this situation. And again, the coaches by no means, you know, some of the stuff where they're running and all that, if we're not running, it's easy for them to look at it and be like, well, this is easy for you to say because you're not the one running. Well, in the weight room, we may not be lifting, but guess what? We're listening to the Meow Mix theme song for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Now, where did you come up with that idea? Because that's pretty creative.
I honestly can't remember, you know, who came up with that one or whatnot. I just know it was one of those things that we felt we needed a day like that. And I think I know we talked in a previous podcast about taking the temperature at times. And we just kind of felt, you know, that we needed a mix up, you know, we needed the guys to understand that, hey, you know, we got to appreciate where we're at. We got to celebrate the little things and be happy with what we have and find ways to have fun through it. And that was just one of those things that we just decided to kind of do on a whim. And we're like, well, worst comes to worst. It's a failed 1.5 hours and best comes to best. we get a great lesson from it, and you know, it can kind of become one of those standing traditions.
So let's shift the focus to the things that are different, that unique part of it for each team and how you build those things. And I want to get into maybe the specific for this past year, 23 later, but talk a little bit about that process. So how this all starts for you and being able to formulate what is unique about this team, what is their particular identity that you're going to build on. So how does that look for you guys? Does that start with the coaches? Is it the coaches and players? How does this all come together?
Yeah, this is definitely a coaching process first and foremost. I think at the close of every season, you know, once you kind of turn that page and you truly move your focus to that next one, that's kind of the biggest process we undertake as our coaching staff is, you know, I mean, you've all got your scheme things. You'll go to clinics, you'll talk to coaches, you'll learn that. But what we really try and hone in on is, you know, who do we anticipate our leaders being? You know, what kind of personalities do we have in this mix next year? That's a very, very big change year to year, the personality of the team, you know, whether it's an easygoing team or, a really down to business, hardworking team, you know, a laid back, have fun team. And we've had all of those through these last 7 years. And that's been the important part is finding the right, I don't know if call sign is the right thing or rallying cry, but the right thing to get everybody together from that group and then ultimately chasing the same goal again, but chasing it maybe a little differently than they did the year prior.
So you guys start to formulate that as a staff. What is that transition into, I guess, onboarding those guys into that unique identity of that next season?
Yeah, and that goes back to, you know, we have our camp starts or our official fall practices start. We go camping for 3 days. We take the whole team to our local state park campground, take their phones away, we take the car keys away. And that's kind of really the beginning of that onboarding. We don't talk about anything during the summer in regards to this next season's theme or you know, that kind of rallying cry again. You know, when we get to Downstream is the name of that camp. When we get there, that's kind of the big reveal, you know, and we have a challenge every year that is associated with that theme. And we put a lot of man hours into planning that. You know, I think we probably start any given off season. I mean, we've had years we've come up with 50 different ideas and we're talking through different ones and we whittle it down to five. And then over the course of summer, we ultimately pick the one. Some years we have one idea and everyone knows right away that's the one we need. So I think we spend a lot of time building that out and then putting a lot of work into that camp. That goal is by the end of that camp, everyone understands the objective, everyone understands the plan and how we're going to get there.
So we'd love to hear the story of how the 2023 identity came together and what that looked like as you went to camp, some of the different activities that you guys came up with and maybe even throughout that you didn't use.
Yeah, starting in 2022, at the end of that season, we had a perfect season. We broke passing records. You know, we did a lot of really good things. We tied the state record for consecutive state championships. We were graduating one of the most talented classes ever up here. We had two players go to the Big Ten, which we'd never had one player go to the Big Ten before. So having two in the same team go was a crazy experience. We lost some very talented players. We had a very hardworking group behind them was going to be this next senior class. And that 2022 senior class was definitely a lot more of a happy-go-lucky. They like to have fun. And it was a group that could flip the switch, but they were definitely able to have a lot more fun during practice. And they were still competitive, but it was always a fun group. And going into 2023, we knew that group of seniors, still talented, but way more driven and businesslike. You know, they wanted to be the best, and they wanted everyone to know that they were the best, and they would compete against each other to be the best. And again, just the way that things kind of worked out was this also was the season where we could, as a program, be the best and win seven straight, which no one had ever done. So knowing that kind of going into the off season, we came up with the idea of Become the Mountain. And we kind of put together we're definitely not graphic designers. Usually we could put a rough idea together and then we send it to our art teachers, and whether the art teachers or they have students do it, they come up with a really cool logo and design for us for that season. They had a logo with seven peaks, and you know, they had 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 on the peaks going up to the top. And then the big mountain in the center had 23 on it. And it was, you know, they had become the mountain around it. And then on the mountain itself was our logo. And it just became our cry this year of, you know, hey, you guys want to be the best. We want to be the best. Let's all be the best. and let's push together to become the Mountain. Let's become the tallest, biggest, longest program to ever win these in a row in the history of the state of South Dakota. And that, again, right away, our challenge was they had to build a mountain out of cardboard boxes. We threw down, I don't know, probably 200 broken down cardboard boxes, a few rolls of duct tape, a kiddie pool that they had to fill with water that had to be supported, or the mountain they built of boxes had to support this water in this kiddie pool, and they had to build it 12 feet tall because everything's always going to be built around 12, which is the amount of games that we would play in a season if you make the state championship. So again, a lot of planning went into all that. That's a very brief summary of all of it. But we arrived at Become the Mountain. The kids really, really wanted to, and they built it. You know, that was what we kind of said every week, is who's going to be the builders this week? You know, who's going to take us up that next step up the mountain? And we were able to get there.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform, using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective, so I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like four-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the five-time California state champion Folsom Bulldogs, six-time Texas state champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust modern football technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast, or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year. So taking some of those things, translating it to practice, translating it to how it looks on the field, what did that look like for Become the Mountain as, again, you guys tweak things to fit this particular group?
Yeah, and I think this was, this was kind of a 180 in the sense that 2022 was, you know, we wanted to have fun ways to condition. We wanted to have fun doing our drills and fun competitions in our team sessions and group sessions. This year's group didn't care about fun. This year's group wanted to work. They wanted to be the best. So it was almost making some of it a little bit more suck running, you know, where there's not a purpose to it other than let's be tough. Let's make sure that, you know, no matter what happens, we're going to be able to handle it. And we were very physical. This was by far the most physical practices we'd run this season. That's something that not a lot of teams will change year to year. You know, usually if you're going to go full one day a week, you go full one day a week every year. This year, I mean, we had weeks we went full 3 days, or I guess it'd be two days a week, and then kind of a shell sud day, a third day, you know. So, I mean, and that's, again, depending on your program, you may not have the numbers to do that. But, I mean, that was an adjustment that these kids wanted. They're like, we want to be physical on Friday. We have to be. And we want to be physical on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Then we'll recoup Thursday and get after it again on Friday. Then again, I think giving the kids a little bit more of a voice, you know, and allowing them to tell you what they think they need is just as important as you as the coach knowing what they need.
One thing that really comes through in all of this, I think it's easy to say, okay, this is what these kids are about, and we're going to make sure it fits them. The group that has to adapt the most probably are your coaches. You need to have a very adaptable group who knows that, hey, it's not going to be exactly the same way this year. So how do you coach your group up? How do you make sure that they're adapting to fit what that year needs?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that does handle through the off season. And you know, once you get to a point, we've had very, very good retention of coaches. So I mean, we're all very well on the same page now. But you know, it's no different, or we treat it no differently than you would in-game adjustments. You've got to be able to adjust in game to what your opponent's giving you. In our mind, you've got to be able to adjust in game, or sorry, in season, in off season, for what you're having as kids. You know, and if you have a group of kids that need to be drill sergeanted a little bit more, then that's what you have. And you've got to be able to adjust and do that. And if you've got kids that need to be able to have more fun and need to be able to be a little bit more loosey-goosey, you've still got to feel comfortable doing that. And I think that's an important part of a coaching staff, is to have that blend, that you have those personalities that can reach the different parts. Because that's a really fun part about some years, is some years some of the coaches are going to be a little bit more of leaders, in a sense, especially in the team and conditioning time, because they are a little bit more fun coaches. You know, you've got your drill sergeants, and this year this was a big year for our drill sergeants. And you know, and if you ask the kids on our team, they would tell you exactly who every type of coach is. But it gives every kid an opportunity to have someone to go to when they need something and when they need to talk.
That's interesting. Have you found, like, over the years that in a particular year, the leadership of one coach might be highlighted a little bit more than another?
Yeah, I think that is definitely the case. And I think, obviously, I mean, you know, your defensive coordinator is still running the defense. No one would question that. Especially, like I said, I think conditioning and some of the workouts are the situations where you could see that. Because, you know, again, this year when we were having a little bit less fun, you know, there were coaches that really stepped up and were like, hey, perfect. I love getting after kids, and I love chewing them out and holding them accountable when they need that. And that's what some people need, and that's what this group needed this year. Last year, those guys needed to be able to enjoy and compete against each other in a fun, more fun atmosphere. And I think that lent itself to a couple of our coaches who are more creative in coming up with different competitive drills that maybe weren't so much, you know, I need someone yelling at me to get after it, but I needed an opponent and a fun course to prove that I could beat my opponent.
Along with this theme of embracing every team and every year being different, you know, I mentioned to you before we got going that, hey, as coaches, we always have next year, unless we decide, like, hey, this is the year I retire. We always have next year. Our kids, our teams, that unique identity of a team, that's always graduating and moving on. Some of those guys will form the next team, but ultimately, you have to take a step back and celebrate that team. So for you, as you look at, you know, over the years here, over these 7 years at Riggs and 7 state championships, how are you making sure that you guys are celebrating everything that went into that year before you move on to the next one?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the season, I mean, we do our awards night just like, you know, a lot of other teams do. You know, we're very fortunate to have a guy who makes some incredible videos for our program. That's kind of one of the anxiously awaiting things at the end of the season, is to get to see that video that he puts a lot of time into. And it's a sizable one. You know, it's a 10-minute video or so that kind of encompasses that theme that we had for that season. You know, along with, again, different memorable moments and things throughout the season that occur. That's always kind of that full circle closure moment that I think so many people really look forward to. And again, we always want to highlight the awards. You know, you highlight all the guys that did it right and never really did, you know, were noticed on the field. You know, I think that's another huge part that can be forgotten quite a bit. Is, you know, everyone celebrates your guys that were scoring touchdowns and making tackles and all that, but you don't always celebrate the guy that stuck it out for 4 years, didn't play a ton, and had a 4.0 GPA and was involved in something bigger than himself. So I think just making sure that you're calling those out is important. We got a subscription to build some graphics and stuff like that, and tried to make sure that we were highlighting kids all season long, but again, at the end of the year, especially too. And so I just think in general, the more that you can really show the kids that you care and that you're proud of them, you know, regardless of their status on the field or whatnot, that really helps you draw in more numbers and keep everybody wanting to be a part of that program.
I know for your 7 championship rings, you guys have used our sponsor for this series, Signature Championship Rings. Would love to know a little bit about why you keep going back and how those guys have come through for you as they've had to create a new one each year.
Yeah, you know, and then just like a lot of teams, you know, you win your first one and you're kind of looking around at different places. They had a lot of options for customization. They were very, very responsive with us in looking at a couple designs, and the price point was right for our program. So they won us that first year, and they just took amazing care of us. And we've gone back every single year. The last few years getting to work with Nate's been fantastic. We usually were able to kind of email back and forth, you know, once we meet with our seniors, get an idea of kind of what they're looking at for styles. And we've usually been able to get a ring design together and where everyone's happy in under a week. And then we've been able to get the ordering process online done super smoothly. The rings all ship here, and then we're able to kind of get them out to our kids. That's always one of the most fun days of the year, is that ring day where the kids all know they came in and they're all excited to be able to come up, shake your hand, and get to wear theirs.
The success you've had has definitely opened some opportunities for you. You were part of the 2016 30 under 30 class for AFCA. Now another unique opportunity has come about. There were over 1,500 applications for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Coaching Academy. You're one of 25 from around the world who was selected for this. I would just love to hear about what you expect or what's going to be going on for you here in May with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers National Coaching Academy.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I'm not sure exactly what to expect. You know, I think that's one of the exciting parts is really just going down there with an open mind and an open notebook to learn as much as I possibly can, you know, from the highest level of football that exists. So, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of, you know, alumni coaches down there. They've shared some of that with us. Just getting able to have that firsthand time, you know, to go and sit down and be involved with some of these meetings, be involved in some of these conversations and learn from some of these guys that have just incredible experience at that top level. You know, you never know what you're going to be able to come back with, what you're going to be able to take away from this type of experience. And just again, getting to see that level of athletes that close, you know, doesn't always happen, you know, especially for high school coaches. You know, we had an incredible quarterback a couple of years ago who's at Ohio State. And we're going to get to see some absolutely incredible players that, you know, that would be way better than that level, where here that's a guy that you hope you get to see again someday in your career, but you know, there's no guarantee of it. So I'm just excited to get down there and really experience all of it and, you know, really just learn as much as I possibly can to bring it back here and keep winning.
I know there's a lot of coaches out there who are looking to get that first state championship under their belt. It is a tremendous mountain to climb. What advice, you know, looking back at these 7 years, maybe even looking back before you had your first one, what advice would you give to that coach who is on that path and wants to bring his team to a state championship?
You know, I think the couple things, one, your scheme is important, but I think way too many people put too much emphasis on scheme. You could be successful running just about anything that you want, but you've got to have the people for it. And if you don't know your people and you don't understand how to put your people together, then the scheme that you run is going to be pretty irrelevant. And I was guilty of that when I got here. I thought I was going to reinvent the wheel. And, you know, I think the more people you talk to, the more you realize that pretty much every machine you could possibly imagine has already been built. And not that there's not new ways to blend and new ways to do some things and ways to add on. But, you know, I think there's very, very few things that somebody hasn't tried before. And then at the same point, I think being brave and not being afraid to be yourself and to do what you truly believe in is the other important thing. You know, I think especially your first head coaching job, you could be tempted to kind of, you know, let's just see how things go. Let's not try anything too extraordinary, anything too different. But I think, you know, while you can't reinvent the wheel, you can definitely reinvent where you're at. And I think that's a key part, where some places that have a history of doing one thing, it might be scary to change to something else. But I think ultimately that's when we're all going to grow, is when we take a leap, we do something brave. We do something that maybe hasn't been done where you're at before. Or you go in and you have a totally different mindset that you're trying to instill in kids. Because ultimately that mindset, that camaraderie, that culture is what's going to win it for you. And you need to have the right people around you as a coaching staff, and you've got to be able to understand your kids and know what makes them tick and how to place them where they need to be.
Coach, before we wrap up here, I'm interested to know, and I'm sure there's still a lot to unfold for this team, some things you have not sprung on them yet, but what is the theme for 2024?
We've got it locked in. I don't know if any of our kids would listen to this, but it's going to, little hint, I guess, would be, you know, we're going to work on continue to write our own history. History is in a book, but at the same point in time, the book doesn't have to be over just because we've achieved something great. That's where we're looking at moving into next season. We've got a lot of kids right now that have ridden the bus, but they need to move into driving the bus. So that's what our theme is going to be, is about, you know, starting to take that ownership a little bit more, take pride in being the bus driver now and write your own story.
Well, Coach, best of luck to you and the Governors here as you do write your own story here in 2024. And it's always great to have you here on the podcast and get some insight into what it takes to be a champion.
Thanks for having me on, Keith. Really appreciate it.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1, understand and embrace the unique identity of each team. Recognize that every team is different with varying personalities, strengths, and motivations. Tailor your coaching approach to suit the specific needs and dynamics of each group of players. While maintaining a foundational team identity, be flexible and adaptive in your coaching strategies to maximize the potential of each team and each season. 2, foster a culture of accountability, teamwork, and positivity. Establish clear, non-negotiable values and foster a sense of family and togetherness within your team. Encourage players to go above and beyond their roles and support one another both on and off the field. It's been a key to those 7 state championships for Coach Riggs. You want to emphasize the importance of staying positive in the face of challenges and finding ways to turn setbacks into opportunities for growth and improvement. And 3, continual learning, growth, and innovation. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and try new approaches. It's something that Coach Steele recommended as you seek your first state championship. While respecting the foundations of successful coaching, be willing to innovate, take risks, and lead with authenticity. Encourage personal and team growth by providing opportunities for your players to develop leadership skills and take ownership of their roles while contributing to the team's success. Celebrate the achievements and milestones while also striving for continued improvement and growth. Be sure to check the show notes for our link and information on Signature Championship Rings, the sponsor of this series. Follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com and follow us on Twitter at Coach K. Grabowski.